advise that the Honourable Minister is going to see a doctor. The Honourable Sir Dunza is debating. I am also informed that there is some function for veterans and that some members, because of that, is not going to be here. I haven't received an official apology, but it appears that the event is an official event on the calendar of the Parliament, and so if that is the case, I would expect that apologies might not be necessary under this circumstance.
In other words, you can close this meeting for you to be able to attend that meeting, then.
If you are implying that you're not better than a veteran, maybe you might be correct. I'm a veteran tennis player, not a veteran military man. I'm quite a good one, sir. Honourable members, down to the business of the day. The visitors, please take their seats. They may enjoy some of the information of the official or in the foyer. When we met yesterday, honourable members, we had passed the staff of the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor to go and make amendments that we had agreed and to report back to the committee that they had sent down the committee's representative to incorporate these amendments into a document. I understand that the document is available. I take it has been circulated to all the members. The document I have is called Working Document 7. It's dated the 1st of June of 2011. Honourable Abbasidi, did you want to intervene on what I was saying
there? Well, I want to address my housekeeping matter. No, just I understand. I wonder whether the staff could provide us with a copy of the Cosato statement. I haven't seen it, but it might be worthwhile to acquire it to our deliberations. Apparently, they have called on amendments to the bill, and it's good to see that somebody else taking the side of the people. If we could have copies, at least it would help me. Committee could take cognizance of that.
Entitled to take anything into consideration. have Gemini and Overton.
The amendments that we are instructed to effect, that's on page 29 of the working document, dated June 2011, working document number 7. The instructions were to amend clause 15, which is the classification level. It was agreed that say we remove unlawful and remove may and insert is likely or could reasonably be expected to cause demonstrable harm. So we remove may be harmful, which is in the original bill. And another amendment is to insert reasonably be expected to prejudice the Republic. So that's a clause 15, sub clause 1 will read as follows. State information may be classified as confidential if the information is sensitive information, the disclosure of which is likely or could reasonably be expected to cause demonstrable harm to the security or national security of the Republic, or could reasonably be expected to prejudice the Republic in its international relations. And I'm not going to repeat B, it has been already effected in the amendment. And on clause 15, sub clause 2, we effected on paragraph A by inserting is likely or could reasonably be expected to cause serious demonstrable harm to the security or national security of the Republic, or likely. Or is likely or could reasonably be expected to jeopardize the international relations of the Republic. So the changes there is to insert on paragraph A is likely or could reasonably be expected to cause serious demonstrable harm to and remove endanger, and as well as insert is likely, there is an error there, is missing there. So there is likely or could reasonably be expected to jeopardize the international relations of the Republic. And again, on paragraph C of sub clause 2, we delete may and insert is likely or could reasonably be expected to. And it will read as personal information. State information may be classified as secret if the information is personal information, the disclosure of which is likely or could reasonably be expected to endanger the physical security of a person. Another amendment in the clause 15 is on subclause 3. In paragraph A, we remove may and insert is likely or could reasonably be expected to. And again, in the following line, we insert is likely or reasonably. Is likely or could reasonably be expected. Sorry for that. So it will read sensitive information the disclosure of which is likely or could reasonably be expected to cause serious or irreparable harm to the national security of the Republic, or is likely or could reasonably be expected to cause other states to sever diplomatic relations with the Republic.
It would appear that one is demonstrable, that a good one doesn't require it. Use a higher taste for the lower classification.
Legal members, what we had agreed upon is in respect of this clause is that the question of security stands on the difficult definition clause, and the issue there would be whether security should remain and take the dictionary definition. Of the issues, as I understand, particularly regarding after lots of debate, was my understanding and my marking here, and what was passed on to the State Law Advisor, is that the demonstrable does not appear in the third category of classification.
I guess it boils down to what actually the ANC wants. So we assume that, perhaps erroneously, that the ANC proposal would carry on 1, 2, and 3, therefore it would be inconsistent and seemingly irrational not to have it in 3, thereby imposing a lower standard for a higher level of classification. That's the way you wish it to have, just clarifying, we move on.
You will recall, please will help you to remember, confidence in information that is classified secret and that is classified top secret. And the difference lies in the harm that it's going to cause if it escapes into the public domain. And the one in secret, we still have the question of the demonstrable harm. In the question of top secret, we are expecting this disclosure to cause irreparable harm.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry to have raised Honourable Honourable's temperature, so really, you know, deliberation. He seemed rather agitated for this time of the afternoon. One of the ones that still seems to be agitated. I mean, perhaps just to restate the point, we agree that in top secret irreparable harm should be the test, but that the irreparable harm must be demonstrable. And therefore, we would move to include the word demonstrable in the clause. Am I recognized?
For you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Landers, irreparable harm is the nature of the harm. It qualifies what type of harm. The word demonstrable, I submit to you, doesn't go to the qualification of the type of harm, but to the probability of that harm to come to pass. And this is very relevant when dealing with security information and intelligence, because there is a great deal out there which often gets classified on the basis of the remote possibility that it may happen, and there is no demonstrability, no probability, it could be totally speculative. An irreparable harm could be speculative. The aliens are going to come and destroy the Republic. It is irreparable, but it's not demonstrable.
Honorable members, you seem to be in conflict with your decisions. These after thoughts are sometimes useful. By your own hand yesterday, you were in agreement with what is here. I hear whispers in the back that it was an error.
Notable error under any notion of agreement. That there is no agreement. Well, there might still be a situation where the ANC rules, but what I think we had understood agreeing to here was different from what we see appearing here. And we might all well operated in good faith. I'm not ascribing any bad faith to anyone, but one tends to read things in the most rational rendition. And so we had assumed rationally that what was proposed for A and B would be carried in C. If we were in error, apologies, but there was error.
Honourable member, I think for the sake of progress, it is pointless trying to get you to to something that you allow may have changed your mind. I don't agree that there was an error on the member, because if this was in fact, and the Honourable Landers had read out that this document had been distributed by your request on Friday, you had requested this document to be distributed. You recall that. The document was given to you, so all members of the committee would have had access to the document and the wording that had been proposed. If for some reason or another yesterday you had wanted that wording changed, then I would have been saying to the state law advisor at that particular clause, you need to reword it, because it's not just the simple of adding demonstrable. There is a grammatical thing that needs to be taken into account here, because it doesn't just read. Right, and I would have been saying that to the state law advisor yesterday. You need to reword this thing in such a way that it reads properly, and you would have remembered that. What I said to them was that they need to take into account what is in the document that you've held.
because the wording was agreed to. I don't agree that it was an error, but I think if you want to opt out of your feed letters, depending, that's perfectly okay on the board.
In turn, allow me be. What I do remember is the Honorable's map telling the, asking the Honorable through you, without through you, asking the Honorable Landers, will the same language carry through? The Honorable Landers saying, yes, it will carry through. Perhaps that was understood as only relating to limit, to likely or could reasonably be expected to, which did carry through. I, for one, understood that as carrying also in respect of the demonstrable. If we misunderstood, apologies. If we were not corrected in our misunderstanding when you instructed the state law advisors, and perhaps we did not catch the failure on your language to reflect our erroneous understanding, apology. What boils down to now is, what does DNC want? We put forward what seems to be a problem. You want to keep it the way it is, fine. If you want to be corrected, I think that that very formulation would be more, would be improved upon.
Chair, it was not just a matter of asking whether the language carried through. I explicitly moved the insertion of demonstrable before the word to. On my notes and my recollection, Mr. Landers did agree, not the first time round, but in the second time. I think that let's leave this for now. It's flagged. When we do the final formal voting on the clause, perhaps everybody in the meantime may wish to think of another way of structuring the sentence, or another way to capture the concept of demonstrability, and then perhaps we deal with that. Because this whole section is so important, our agreement on it is so important for the process and for the country, that I don't think that we will be spoiled now. But you do need the demonstrability. Maybe we'll think of another way to capture it.
I would want the honourable members then to record in their notes that there are now two issues on this particular clause, 15 that offer. The first issue is the question as to whether security as contained in section 115.1. Second question that we would like to come back to is whether the word demonstrable should be included in the test on the 15.3. I would also want you to record, but for those two issues, there is agreement on all the other issues. Take your advisor and continue to be.
On page 31. Clause 16. 16, and there was an amendment on clause 16, clause 2. The instructions were to remove subordinate and to insert at a sufficiently senior level. And that subclause was read as, a head of an organ of state may delegate in writing authority to classify information to a staff member at a sufficiently senior level. And again, on subclause 6, an instruction were to remove automatically regarded as and to insert deemed to be. Then it will read, when state information is categorized as classified, all individual items of information that fall within a classified category are deemed to be classified. And then there was a new insertion of subclause 7, 8, and 9. I'll read those, they read the follows. Where a person is a member of security services, as contemplated in Chapter 11 of the Constitution, who by the nature of their work deal with the information that may fall within the ambit of this Act, that person must classify such information in accordance with the classification level as set out in Section 15.
There, and it could be changed. Yeah. That's a grammatical imperative.
There's one word that appears in the proposal document.
One would have assumed that somebody would fix the grammar.
They were not asked to fix the grammar, it was given to them. What is the problem with they? Because they could be referring to the institution.
Well, then,
you say his or her.
Well, who?
If you say his or her, you're going to be referring to individuals.
Well, we assume that person is the subject of the sentence. Otherwise, who is wrong, because who refers to people and not institution. And there should be either which or that. So you need to determine the qualifier, who you wanted to refer to. The qualifier is the deal with information that may fall in the ambit of the Act. Since definitionally the Chapter 11 institutions deal with such information, the qualifier would have no purpose except as referring to the person, because you don't want to have a janitor who works in the police to have this power. So only to the person. If it is person, the who stands, the there goes out because it's singular and the one is plural.
It might sound not important, but taking into account that as from the beginning I was really concerned about the wideness of the classification of documentations, especially referring to the programs of states, which we couldn't succeed in limited to only to the security. If I could take the 16 sub 2 as an example, and we've used this also in previous clauses, staff members at a sufficiently senior level. How wide, and just an explanation, how wide is that a sufficiently senior level? Does that mean anybody to a certain level or to a specific person? Because, that can cause, concern, as we said, that the classification can be too wide, that anybody can classify, instead of my initial sort of proposal that we sort of specify to a person in an organ of state. it speaks to a person singular, and therefore the nature of his or her work deals. And the word deal must be deals, not deal.
Yeah. Nine, I think, should be referring to seven rather than six.
So we haven't got there yet. Can we just finalize this thing first? Is there any objection then that they be changed to his or her? And the word deal be changed to deal?
Well, no, we're not doing it now, but perhaps handled is the correct word rather than deals.
Has a specific meaning, different from deals. Honorable members, if at the end of the process there are any simple things that we can get consensus on, at this stage we have consensus on deal. If it so happens that we are going to change this at some stage, then let that be at some other stage when we look at the
letter. Okay, so deal.
Then the state advisors are instructed to do that changes. And before we go on, the honorable could see, I thought we had finalized this matter yesterday. I'm not sure. I know that sometime you left, but I'm sure you were there when we spoke about it. The clear issue that I think that has come across from everybody is that the person that deals with classification has got to be the head of the organ of state. And it's got to be somebody of a very high rank. Now, we have also agreed that at some stage he can't always be in that position. So the person, the he or the her, needs to delegate that position, that power. And all that this thing is saying is that he can't delegate it to any person. So it's got to be somebody of sufficiently senior level. Now, what I said yesterday is that it is not possible for us here when we legislate to look at all the organs of state and know who is going to be the person at the senior level. Some heads, some organs of state are head by a DG, others are head by commissioners, division commissioners, managers and those things. So it's going to be impossible for us to say it should be the deputy DG or it should be a deputy manager. But what we do know, he's not going to delegate this to the sweeper and say, well, that was the next senior person then. Because it's quite clear that the concern that the legislature has is that this thing must go to somebody with proper responsibilities. And if there is an issue over that, one would imagine that the courts would have to deal whether the delegation was in fact proper. It would be difficult for the legislature here as for us to determine exactly what it is. One would expect that the person that has the power would understand that when he delegates this thing, this power, that he should do it in a responsible manner. And I think that's why, after what I'd said then, there was no further discussion on this except that. But again, as all clauses are, if at some stage you come up with wording, then we look at the rule needs completeness. At some stage you come up with wording that needs to capture the understanding that we have. There's a clear understanding that this power must be delegated to somebody with proper authority. If we can capture it in a different way than what it is said now, then we will look at that. Can we go on? Can the state board continue?
The clause 8 reads as follows. The member of the fiscal committee must submit the classified information to the head of an organ of speech in question for confirmation of the classification. And then, now, subclause 9, the information classified in terms of subsection, there is an error there, the reference is 7, not 6. But remain classified until the head of an organ of state in question decides otherwise. Then we come to clause 17. The heading there is the amended by deletion of a direction and insert conditions. It will read conditions for classification. And clause 17.1, paragraph A, is being amended to read as follows. Secrecy is justifiable only when necessary to protect the national security. The omission in paragraph A is a exists will have to go out.
Thank you very much. May I just say that we don't need the word the before national security. Secrecy is justifiable only when necessary to protect national security, would you agree, Jeff?
Any objections? The floor advises not to put the word the before national.
Benefit of openness and secrecy must be balanced. It's, there must be a fifth that's now a problem.
Thank you. There are two aspects to the equation, open and secrecy. Under secrecy, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 elements which must be kept into account on identifying the value of secrecy. So the balancing test is between open and secrecy, and first could be captured. Classification decisions must be must balance openness against secrecy, taking into account the following factors. Classification decision must balance open against secrecy, taking into account the following factors. Classification decisions must balance openness against secrecy, taking into account the following factors. From the beginning of the sentence, Mr. Chairman, the purpose of classification, for the purpose of classification, classification decisions must be guided by section 21 and the following, blah, 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 blah. G, classification decisions must assess open against secrecy, taking into account the following factors, blah, 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 and follow systematically.
Taking into account. going to be the new closed eye, that's by agreement, and everything else they stay from the living ones to and so on. Can we then proceed with the next
The Chairman, may I talk with you, if I may? I was going to address you on this yesterday, and you said let's stop where we are. So if I can do it now, on Stab Roman 4, the value of information to the adversary, this needs a qualification, whose adversary? The adversaries of the political party of the ruling class, the football adversaries, or the rugby adversaries. So, and the word adversary itself is quite problematic. It's, again, intelligent peace. It's language of intelligence that doesn't really defeat legal language. Surely, at least I'm the adversary of the Republic. I accept that enemies is too strong, but there must be a qualifier, and I suggest adversaries of the Republic.
Paragraph J, wherein we were instructed to insert interests and remove and the national interest in the second line. That now is already a scientific and research information not given related to the interest of the national security may not be classified.
Thank you. the world so that I can control everything if I'm sharing it all. Let's hear what it is to say.
In this goal, there is the idea that economic information having to do with development, it didn't come only with that, but that may be classified. But that too is a, can of course be a mistake, because if you remember when our electricity went out, it then emerged that the essential mistake had been that public policy on electricity generation and distribution in South Africa had never been sufficiently publicly debated, and it sat there, and the cabinet allowed it to go into abeyance. And the next thing we knew, we were in darkness, and it was almost too late. So it's an interesting example of how, in fact, you have to ventilate policy on issues like these, which, on the face of it, also sounds as if they might be merited in classifying some aspects, but I think it's usually a mistake to not publicly.
If there is a public interest, the same that addresses it.
I don't know, this public, this cable building was never a secret. Thank you.
we are looking at Jay, and scientific and research information not clearly related to national security may not be classified. The words from the original bill and the national interest, those four words and the national interest must be deleted. So let's look at the original bill. Not look at this because you might look at the original bill and you delete the words in clause J and the national interest.
And the last amendment is on page 34, on sub-clause 2. What happens there is we are starting to delete a principle and insert conditions. That sub-clause will read the following. The application of the classification condition may not in any way inhibit or prevent officials from informing authorized officials of such information in order to fulfill law enforcement or intelligence functions authorized or prescribed by law.
I'll just echo your sentiment. Now we can move on.
Would we please have a break?
No.
I've been with you just then remains correct. Clause 19. Any extra thoughts on clause 19?
Chairmanship, collegial chairmanship. That's the way it should be. Thank you, sir. Yes, I did, but I think it was rejected. And I also pleaded for an amendment which I think was discussed was too late, and that subject to 1 to 6. A person who legitimately classified a record shall have the power to declassify it. let's see if I can give one word of just of motivation in addition to what I said yesterday. People classify things erroneously as subject to major penalties, and we will ask for greater penalties than provided for here. So it would seem just fair that if somebody realizes that it classified erroneously, should be able to fix it. It would read, subject to parenthesis 1, parenthesis 2, parenthesis 6 to 6. So subject to 1 to 6, a person who legitimately classified a record shall have the power to declassify it. In terms of this bill, we do. If somebody classified something to cover a crime, it gets punished. But also, if the person who classified knows the reasons of classification, knows what is happening, if it is an operation which has been concluded, he would be the first one to know that the need for secrecy is no longer there. So for somebody else to review it afterward will delay the declassification of information. And if we have given him the power to classify, then he should also have the power to declassify. We shouldn't be concerned about his power to declassify if we were confident enough with his power to classify. But the information would remain classified, and therefore there would be a harm to the cause of openness, transparency, etc., etc. Should have the power to declassify, and I motivated exclusively on the basis that I don't see any reason why not, and I see advantages because that might lead to more expedited declassification, where otherwise documents which are ready for declassification may only be declassified through the review every 10 years or the annual review in terms of the amendment that has been submitted. So at times one may not need to wait for 1 year if the person is classified can declassify it, and I don't see any downside in giving this power. Mm-hmm.
remember your own proposal is referring to a person legitimately classified a record. Am I correct?
Correct.
You want him to have the power to declassify it now. Are you not stating the obvious here?
No.
Isn't that what is in fact saying?
Well, it is not clear, Mr. Chairman. If it is obvious, then let's make it clear. Because it is not, it was not clear to me. I addressed you on the relationship with 16.
Just allow me to finish. Clause 19 starts and says the organ of state that classified the imagined information is responsible for declassifying. I'm downgrading. Why would you want to include that?
Thank you. What we have here in terms of classification and declassification is given to the entire organ of state. Then in 16, as amended in the text we received today, we basically have a mechanism. When one person has the power, the classification is immediate, and then it stays until it goes to the superior person to whom from whom he received the delegation. So if I were to read this set of provisions without the amendment that I propose, I would be inclined to read it as follows. The power to classify and declassify is in the organ of state, X16 sub 1. In terms of 16 sub 2, the power to classify, and not only classify and not declassify, stays with the head of the organ of state. In terms of 16 sub 7, that power can be the power can be delegated to somebody below the head. I'm trying to see where is the amendment that we adopted before. And in terms of yes, 16 sub 9. Information classified in terms of sub 6 must remain classified until the head of an organ state in question decides otherwise. So, by reading all this together, I draw the conclusion, which is just the opposite of the conclusion that you drew. You look at my amendment and you say, well, isn't that what the bill already says? And it seems that it doesn't. One would draw the conclusion that unless the head of the organ of state declassified, it cannot be declassified. Now, the problem is that both 16.9 and 16.2 only refer to classification and not declassification. So another way of fixing it would be to fix it to 16, but I think that the language I'm suggesting
is clearer, and if it is correct that it does reflect what you, Mr. Chairman, understand the feeling that the bill trying to achieve and already achieving, it should not be controversial or opposed.
Maybe you got me lost. I don't know. There is clause 16.9. You're talking about clause 16.9.
Yes, it's your mine. Yeah, it's your addition.
The head of the organ of state is the declassification authority. Is that not what you're complaining about?
But it doesn't, it can ask, the head, the power is vested in the head. The head can delegate it to somebody else. But conceivably, it can delegate the power to classify to a director, as it often happens, because whoever creates a document is usually done quite lower. And it could delegate the power to declassify to a deputy director general. So there you would have a situation in which the person who classified cannot declassify because the power to declassify has either been delegated to somebody else or to a higher rank. That seems to be unnecessary and unjustified, because if he has the power to classify to begin with, and he could be trusted with that, should also be trusted with the power to declassify. The power to declassify is not a greater power than the power to classify. The reason in common practice, you know, is that if somebody else declassifies, needs to become familiar with the subject matter, and it's an actual review, and that the guy classifying knows it all, because he classified to begin with, made the original assessment. And there would be additional delays if somebody else were to declassify rather than the person who classified.
You are correct, Honorable, and that is in fact the way the bill is captured, you see. I'm not sure I'm getting you. Now, that's what the bill is saying, because if you look at subclause 3, subclause 3 now says that the head, never mind if he's delegated this thing, he ultimately remains responsible.
There are two concepts, Mr. Chairman. There is accountability and power. The head of an organ of state at all levels is accountable for all for what the functionaries do. And that is what is correctly captured in 3. The head of the organ of state retains accountability for the decision taken in terms of such delegation of authority by his subordinate. But nowhere the bill says, and I seem to understand that you would like it to say, nowhere the bill says that CEO can classify, can declassify. Since you seem to indicate that, that that's what the bill should say, let's just make it say so, and it's clear.
The Honourable Chair, if I listen to the argument there, I think what happens here is if a report from somebody in the security service, the person who draws the report puts a classification on it, and that person can also declassify, and I can read that in paragraph 3. But I think in the other entities, who is responsible for the classification when you can declassify? And I can see here that
any head of an organ of state might classify or reclassify information using the classification level set out in section 15. I think that is the problem that in other organs of state, various people might put a classification, whereas or designated people can put a classification, whereas in security services, let's say the agents working in the field can put a classification on their document. Isn't that where the verwarring comes from, or confusion?
Field agents could classify, thing remains classifying until it gets to the head of the organ of state law. And then he decides, and then if he likes it, the classification continues, or he can declassify it. That's a different section, and I don't think that is what applies here. I think I hear what you say, but I don't think that the section, and I don't know what the other ones in the members say. But I'd like to move on now, because you do not seem to have support from your colleagues on the board, perhaps Jenny. They seem not to be excited about your discovery on this.
See, we have, in many aspects of the procedure, you've got silence is a saint. Here there is silence, there is no explanation. Well, we have no agreement. I mean, I'm trying to put forward a rational argument. I accept you can do as you wish, but at least tell me why, everyone, so we know what's wrong with it.
The rationality is sometimes very subjective, so be careful if you try and pause it over something that is common course. What is rational for TQ? I'm not suggesting that in any sense that what you are saying should be discarded. What I'm saying is that it's clear that people have listened to your argument and you haven't been able to persuade them to support you on it. And for that reason, I'm going to have to move on. What I would like the honourable members to consider is clause 4 and 5. 19.4 and 5. Now, 19.4 says that if there is a, and I'm just going to speak loosely here. If there's some organ of state or some agency that has gone defunct, it used to exist, was functioning, and it would obviously have interest in those organs of state that was classifying information. So one might use the scorpions as an example, maybe not a good one. But it's gone defunct now. And what this thing is saying, that the agency must come in and take control of the classified information. Let me explain first. That's what I understand it to be saying. Okay, the agency is responsible for handling of classified records and the declassification of such records of a defunct organ of state or agency that has no success in function. The Scotland's have been slightly different because I think the legislation that brought the TPSI into operation did take that into account. But if it didn't, then this particular clause is now saying, if it's classified information there, then the agency will come in and take control. What five is saying, and it doesn't appear, it's not clear, it doesn't follow clearly, but what five is saying is that the agency must consult with other organs of state or agencies that might have an interest in that information that they are busy with, before making the final decision. So 4 and 5, in my understanding of this thing, is related. And 4 should then actually say, subject to subsection 5. Because in my deliberations with a whole range of opponents to these things wanting to be taken out, it seems that they were arguing on the basis that this thing was standing alone and the agency was coming to interfere in some capacity. Whereas 4 and 5 actually seem they are clearly related. So agency is tasked that before they do anything with that information, they need to consider whether there's another organ of state that has an interest in that information before they do anything. And only after they've consulted can they do what they are empowered to do in terms of fraud. So what I'm saying is, it seems to me that 4, at the end of 4, the full stop should be taken out and say subject to subsection 5.
Correct. So that sounds perfectly sensible. May I just ask you to give me an example of what agencies having primary subject matter interest might be? We're talking about cases where there is no successor in function. So what might be the, who might be these primary subject matter interested persons?
The Kosuru, the erstwhile Kosuru government.
Mm. Who might have an interest in this?
Well, depending on the subject matter, there is technically no successor in function of the Esquire-Kosovo government of any of the TPBC states.
For the primary subject.
Well, it depends on the subject matter. No. Protection.
Members, I think that it's classified information. It's not meant to be. They're not meant to consult people that don't have the authority to deal with classified information. And I think that's really the honorable Augustine is correct. It depends on the information that they're going to be consulting. But I think the power needs to be there. The court should allow them to walk away with the information. Yes, I'm open to.
Mr. Chair, can I address you on another point on this section?
Yes. Okay. The state law advisors will take note of it. Yes.
Mr. Chair, referring to my early sort of request on classifying the sufficiently senior level, referring to on page 35, clause 19.3, the head of an organ of state retains accountability for any decision taken in terms of such delegated authority. I like that and I highly sort of support this, but my request is, can we include that in section 16? 10 then as well, because I can't find that sort of wording in section 16, where new 16.10, where a person did classify or delegate his authority to somebody lower, that he still takes full responsibility as stated in 19.3 then.
question, it makes sense, because especially in view of your addition of those three sub-clauses about the people roaming around the African bush, it's not really a provision where the president is not divested of his power. I think the Britain was on a lot of power, whereas this is accountability. I'm not sure we shouldn't say that they can't divest themselves of power as well. But I suppose Mr. Kutsia's idea.
Amend to 16 where a delegation is by amending a decree, but it will sort of, we have to craft it to capture the what is being proposed.
Your permission, there's this, as I've ever said, keep it simple, stupid. And I think for everybody, you know, with all respect, it will be much easier if we just add a subsection to 16 and a 10 there, in stating what 19.3 is saying. Keep it simple.
Honourable members, without going into the exact words, because I'm not sure whether the exact words in subclause 3, in 19, the exact words. And there's very little difficulty here. The instruction to the state law advisor is to go back to clause 16. And right at the end, following clause 16, subclause 9, to add a subclause 10, which shall read as follows: the head of an organ of state retains accountability for any decisions taken in terms of such delegated authority. And if you missed any of the words, you'll find it on page 35 under subclause 3. The exact words are there. Is that understood on the board? Honourable members, and I think we have that agreement that subject to subsection 5. That is in clause 19. Can we? I know that the issue of files, subfiles, integral blocks, series blocks, other files, things, we've made it. It's been made clear to us that the members of the DA are not happy with that. The way I understand it, then, lies only in that subparagraphs 4 and 5. Is that correct, honourable members? And we are talking about clause 19. So we will, honourable members, flag clause 19. Clause 20, honourable members, is where we are now. This thing is consistent with the Archives Act, which was 20 years. And if you start messing around with the time period here now, I think you're going to have to give compelling reasons why. But I think the honourable members want to be heard on this.
Yes, Chairperson, there are two references that I want to make. The one is to the National Archives Act. One of the dues that is alluded to Section 11.2, which provides for an archives repository where records have been in existence for 20 years. Amongst other things. In addition to that, Chairperson, I want to refer you to promotional access information, specifically Section 41, which deals with defense, security, and international relations of the Republic, which says, amongst other things, Please, Section 8, may not be refused. So throughout our legislation, there's a difference in the 20-year thing. It's not by accident. It's not something that was just somebody said, okay, 20-year. So you know, my fear is that if we lower the 20-year period, there may be financial difficulties that will arise generally. And so we would appeal that that be kept
We hear the argument, it's logical, it's also convenient. But I wonder if we shouldn't go on thinking about the Sisyphus proposal that you should look at cascading periods of non-accessibility. 2015 and 10, or 15 and 5. He made the argument that confidentiality categorization for document classification is, after all, not such a big deal. Remind me what we have said is deserving of confidentiality. It is something that is, can demonstrably harm. I think his proposal, Mr. Sipper, would then be that you would need to review it after 5 years, not so. And under this clause that we're dealing with, you would have to demonstrate that it remains crucial for safeguarding of the national security if you prolong the classification. But is there not merit, if your point of departure is, as ours is, that things should wherever possible be open, and that the Constitution requires openness from Section 1 through to Section the end, then should we not look wherever we can at making information available? The confidential classification is the one dealing with the harm and the possible prejudice to the Republic and its international relations. Is there not a case of saying that classification should be reviewed after 10 years, for example? Secret after 15, top secret after 20. But Mr. Simmons' argument had a lot of merit to me.
That comes into the review of classified information, which is in the amendment. And it says, amongst other things, that at least once every 10 years, classified information, the status of the classified information must be reviewed. Here we are really providing what you're asking for. It's there. Why would there be a review after every 10 years? 15, at least once every 10 years. There must be a review. That's important.
Honourable members, I think, let me help you here. I'm thinking. When you're dealing with your maximum protection period, clearly the assumption is that that information has been correctly classified. There's been no reason for it to be declassified or reclassified. Because your next section deals with the continued classification of information. So you're never going to reach a situation which is envisaged in clause 20, because argument concern that you raise, you're never going to reach that concern, because clause 21 is going to take care of that. Because in clause 21, what is being trying, or what we are trying to capture, we know it's not being captured correctly. Is that when the classified information that was classified in terms of your clause 15, I think it is, when there is a reason, and I'm just paraphrasing what I think clause 21 is saying, when the reasons for classifying that information under 15 have changed. So remember when you started to classify there, you looked at the harm that would come about, and you saw that if this thing leaked, if it was disclosed, of such a serious nature, so you classified this particular document at a top secret level. But under clause 21, if the circumstances has changed, and if this document then leaked, and it was not going to have that same consequences, but it would still have consequences that was envisaged in the top secret, then you would downgrade it. Or if the harm that it was going to cause no longer exists, you would declassify it. That's what I understand. It was 90%. So you could go up, you could go down, or you could totally declassify the thing. If you find that there's no reason for the classification to continue, that obligation will rest with those who are in authority to classify. Now, it's not captured. I remember that was seen as correct. And I think it's a simple thing that we need to adjust that clause. Now, if that clause 21 reads properly and it covers what I've been explaining, then what clause 20 is trying to cover is something totally different. That is your information that hasn't, notwithstanding the test that exists in the book, not being able to be tested or be found to be declassified or to be dealt with in terms of clause 21. That's your 20-year stuff. Danger still remains there. Honourable members, have you taken that to heart? When you consider whether classification should continue in terms of clause 15, then honourable members, can we? Honourable Kutsi, I am declaring that meeting to be unlawful. Honourable members, what is your thinking on the matter? We are looking. What are the reasons? Why do we want to keep information classified? And the Honourable Abbasini was saying, but you've got different tests here, that the You know, the criteria is different here than for classifying it, is correct. So, but how do we deal with this? All that we need to say is that if the circumstances that portrayed itself in the clause 15 continue, then the thing shall remain classified. But if they change, then you must either declassify totally or you must reclassify to a higher level or to a lower level. That's what this thing is saying. You look at me, Honorable Meng, as if I am distorting the facts. As if you are suspicious that I might be luring you into an arrangement here that is not. Even if that is not what it said, the heading is asking, is saying continued classification of information. That's the subheading. So, under what circumstances will we want information to be continued to be classified? And it will remain classified if the circumstances under which it was classified still remain. But if that circumstances have changed, then the classification must change. It must either come up if the circumstances have turned worse, or it must come down if the circumstances have been lighter. And if the circumstances no longer exist, it must be declassified. Yes. I can say no more. And I think that if we capture that, the rest of the clauses, all those other foreign governments and all those things, the sub clauses B, C, D, E, F, you're opposed to F, they can't even go. All of them, all the sub clauses will go if. No. If you capture what I've said, because unless you disagree that what I've said is in fact not what has been captured here, been captured wrong, you cannot continue to classify information when you will change the criteria, which is one of the proceedings argument. Expressions are different here. But even if you don't agree on it, surely the proposal that if the circumstances change, the classification must change. So work from what you know. If allowed classification to take place under clause 15, if allowed that. Now the classification is fixed, there's nothing wrong with it. You've classified it because you know. So the basis of the harm is going to cause it. Somewhere down the line, when you look at this thing, you see that the harm has changed. The harm has actually been corrected. Then that thing that you've classified at secret level might have to be classified at top secret level. If the harm has been reduced or the harm no longer exists, then the document problems you might classify. That's the basic one which was classified in the first part. If it hits, what is the harm? So if the harm no longer is there, it must be declassified. But that's not the only crisis you're going to be faced with. You're going to be faced with the whole range that I've mentioned. The harm might increase, the harm might decrease, the harm might be totally gone. Those possibilities you'll be faced with. And depending on that harm that you took into account when you classified in the first place, that is going to determine how you deal with this particular situation when you have to consider whether to continue to be classified. I've said this thing so many times.
To remember, Philip, we all know what our proceedings raised. I mean, we knew it from the start that Clause 21 is highly desirable. It's our whole classification thing to look. But in fact, it is partly primary classification. And that is the virtue of Clause 17. Because it says that all classification decisions must be guided, and we've now made them conditions. by Clause 21. So this, the criteria for continued classification are now also applicable. They are conditions for primary classification also. And it's because we didn't want to lose them that we allow them to chat in a separate clause. It's a very nice example, I guess. They serve as kind of examples, don't they? You don't want to expose the identity of a confidential source or a law enforcement investigative method, disclosure which will clearly and demonstrably damage the national security. And that being damaged to be revealed as a confidential classification, it's not irreparable damage or serious.
On the numbers, that's quite clear to me that there is a silence here that needs to be looked at. So I'm going to flag so that you can also see the numbers.
The security services do vetting of people who tender, people who respond to tenders, that they do vetting, and that might be a reason why this subclause is here and allows the continuous classification, let alone the primary classification, of information dealing with that could result in financial losses to a non-state institution or could cause substantial prejudice to such an institution in its relations with its clients, competitors, contractors, and so on. Now, I think of the gentleman who's been tendering for police headquarters here, there, and everywhere. Now, you know, is this going to, has that matter not come into the public domain? Is that what we're dealing with? Will this be a case where information about that gentleman will be classified because it could prejudice him in his relations with his clients and his competitors. If the stuff that the security services discovered were to be in the public domain. Because that is one possible reading of it, and on that reading of it, it's not acceptable.
Yes, and you're referring to clause F. You see, long time ago, I think this was the incident. So what happened is that we now are looking at, of course, the life threatening and for the moment. Yes, that's a long time ago. So sorry for wasting your time. Sorry for me wasting your time on the members. That thing is deleted when the statutory advisors take note from the original bill, clause 21F. Can we just find the ones that are 21-1, I think you need to end that. Yes, should read as follows. In sub 1, in taking a decision whether or not to continue the classification of information, the head of an organ of state must consider whether the declassification of classified information, and then the test comes in, is likely or could reasonably be expected to cause a demonstrable harm to the national security of the state. To cause
or act towards demonstrable harm.
Is that mentioned, Honourable Mayor?
Again, I raised in my hand, but you don't see me, so that forces me to interject. Thank you. Apologies for the small hiatus on my attendance. Yes, thank you. Yesterday, when we were discussing these provisions and you decided to flag it, I understood that there were two aspects of the flag. The one which has been discussed here, and the other one that there was acknowledgement that the criteria for classification and the criteria for declassification are mismatched. And I understood that you, ANC, or whatever, would go back and think how to deal with the mismatchment. If certain criteria are required to classify and certain criteria are required for the classify. And I I don't know how to address that. I don't want to say, yesterday I said you guys, and there was sanctioned as discretion of being sufficiently respectful. So I don't want to use the word counterpart because I don't think we're counterparts. So you all. You all were going back and look at this. The fact is that I have submitted to you my earnest interpretation.
Unfortunate you left us for a considerable period of time. In your absence, I was strongly arguing for your particular view as contained in your IFP 3. That this thing be deleted and not that it be deleted, but that it be properly captured, because your concern was that the test, there was a problem with the test here, and I think clause 50, that we can't have two different tests. Now, after a long argument there, and you were not here, I don't want you to repeat yourself, because in your absence, we could find no support, as much as I tried, we could find no support for you. And so, I don't want you to reopen the...
I will not, I should raise, Mr. Chairman, but... Do have the constellations that great minds are often isolated. So if you and I are the only ones to stand on this thing, we should.
Honourable members, now there is that. Are we then in agreement, at least now, that clause 21 has been adjusted in the manner in which it has been adjusted? Is there agreement that the state law advisors can do that necessary adjustment? And then there is an agreement that that clause, say for the fact that the Honourable Abrasini has been heard, that he is standing alone on his proposal.
Just told him, said you stood with me. These are the whimsical frames that you can cast.
I speak as a chairperson of the Honourable Abrasini. One of the members, who is making that naughty noise? Honourable members, I'm going to adjourn soon. Now, I want, is this urgent or what?
I thought we were still discussing in the last order. I didn't understand that we'd finished discussing the implications of classification and the different tests. So I thought that you accurately picked up a problem with the formulation of 21, and we were still discussing a way of resolving it. Maybe we should just think a bit about it overnight and see if it is not a major problem. And come back again tomorrow. Because my understanding was you were saying there is a problem here. Let's look at it.
Honourable Dean Swartz was adamant that this should remain. Are you differing with the Honourable Swartz?
so we were then talking, and then you said, well, then we could delete all A to F. And she said, well, that's delightful. She wants F out, but if we take all A, if I...
I guess there was a misunderstanding about F.
Understand F. But I was looking at the whole issue of reclassification, where you were saying, look, if there's an issue that must go from proper secret down to secret, it's not sufficiently covered. And that is maybe something that we need to look at. So But let's just think a bit about it overnight, if there's nothing in
here. Yeah, he's on with what says, but I think you should discuss with the Honourable Dean Smith, just to see, because the DA seems to be in agreement now. On the moment, the question of the review panel which was put forward, I take it you have had an opportunity, I have had a look at it. Can we have your inputs at the next meeting on this thing so that we can also finalize that? Please.
Chairman, should we? No, I would. I was going to say let's discuss it now because there's been media interest and it might be important to give a reading. But if this is not,
Thank you. hate being turned at this time in the morning saying, can you be here at night? Seems like a problem. Nothing I need to do. I dine at 6:10 p.m. It's crazy. Thank you, darling. I know.
Is that your stuff from the workshop?
It's very nice, I'm asking.
Yes.
I've seen a couple of people with them on today. Obviously, it's getting cold.
I will see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.